Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome to the very, very first one. Welcome, everybody, to the first episode, episode number one of Guerrilla Position Radio. I am your host, Hammer, joined by our co-host, the man, myth, legend himself. This is gonna be some good stuff. I'm not sure if it played. I'm gonna try and play it
the
now.
The opinions expressed are the there opinions of personalities hosting Guerrilla Position are no way, shape, or form affiliated with any wrestling federations. All comments and opinions belong solely to the host and should be regarded as such. Now it's time to get to Guerrilla.
For those of you in world that are not listening on the radio station, what you heard right there is the disclaimer of the show. It is one of the most important factors of this whole thing. What you hear us say, this does not reflect on anywhere we are affiliated with. What is said right here by the hosts, that is not representative of any federations, any businesses, groups, anything we are a part of. This is out of character, just us and our opinions on wrestling, randomness, and Second Life as a whole. Now that we have got all of that out of the way, as you all can see, we are being joined by someone else. As the title says, this is Live with Lyra Phoenix. So I am going to give the floor to our lovely guest, WWE Women's World Champion, the mastermind, the maestro behind all of the moves that everyone uses in Second Life Wrestling, Lyra fucking Phoenix.
All right, just letting you know, I'm not the mastermind of everything, but yeah, I'm a good part. That is indeed. My name is Lyra Phoenix of World. Most of you guys know me as Kevin or Falcon or whatever or Birdie. Everybody knows me as Birdie at this point. I've been at this for a long ass time since 2013, to be honest.
So, with 8 years behind you, why don't you give us just a little bit of that background? What have you been doing for 8 years?
So, I've been doing SL Wrestling specifically for 8 years. I started animating not in 2013, but 2014. 2013, I just got my, head into the door of SL Wrestling with my first friend, VAW. Then it kind of snowballed into VWE with me, and then I just kind of took off from there. I've been at this for too damn of a long time. Jesus Christ. You know how make a person feel old? I mean, seriously, I spent 8 years in a virtual world. What is going on with me?
I know I was in the military. That's about all I got.
Well, yeah, same as me. Like, I was I was in the military when I first got into SL. When pretty much I got to my first base, I was like, I need something to do, otherwise I'm going to get bored. Oh, what's this game?
Actually, yeah, that's my question, because I know what I was doing, how busy I was, all that. How the hell were you active duty and having a full wrestling career?
So when I first started with VAW, I wasn't always at the show. I was always, I was working a swing shift. I usually go to my freaking hangar, which is like right across the airfield. I work for, you know, the 8 hours that I do. And then I come back home, and immediately as I come back home was actually the start time of VAW. So I literally had an hour from when I left work to get to my house, to log in to my character, to then do all my stuff. Oftentimes, when I run late, I usually, you know, just message them on Skype at the time. Hey, I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm not going to lie. I freaking no-showed a couple of shows.
Gotcha.
Well, I'm an early career.
Yeah, that makes complete sense, because I could not do it. Go ahead.
Now, mind you, I wasn't admin at that time, so I was a lot less busy.
True. So, where are you? You're pretty well traveled in SL wrestling, I would say. Where all have you wrestled?
So I've been part of so here's how my journey started. I first got in with VAW after Liddy Graves recruited me into it. After I left there, I started branching out to various promotions at the time. I'm talking about there was at least 8 feds at the time. I went to APW, went to Hawks, went to WPWF, went to DSE for a few. A couple of feds you haven't even heard of, because some of them no longer exist at this point. But yeah, I was just being pretty much I was just putting my word out there until so I'm going to tell you a funny story. So I actually applied to DCWF way back when. I applied to both DCWF and VWE like pretty much at the same time. I didn't get I weighed the option, because for both feds at the time, I kind of felt like that I was too young and too early to be part of those big time promotions at the time. And I mean, literally, they were both the largest feds at the time. DCIF never got back to me, but VW did, and here I am.
That's wild to think that there are so many different places out there that have been out there, still out there, all that. So we're going to try this one more time, because I'm being told that Alex here has not been able to be heard on the radio. So I'm going to let Alex have a moment to say hello and see if we're good.
Oh yeah, trust me, I don't like no showing, and then when I said like I said, I had to, just because of obviously, real life took precedence at the time, and I want to keep my job, so yeah.
One moment, we are testing out some things. We actually, sorry about that, folks. I was having some sound issues, but we're testing out some things. I think we have a caller, so we're going to see what the caller has to say. The very first caller of the show. So this is a pretty big moment here. Let's see if they can hear us. Hello? Hello?
Is that me?
I hear someone.
Yeah, I hear someone. What's your name?
Is this me? Is it me that I'm talking to?
I'm not sure who me is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. There wasn't a sound ping. Normally just sound ping. But hey, it's Ray. Hi.
Oh, hey. How's it going, Ray? How are you doing, man?
It's going all right. I am in world and I'm here on the radio tubes because I don't know whether or not I can ask questions in world or not. I have to call in to ask questions. But I didn't have my hand raised or anything. I was just calling in to see how that whole thing works out.
If you are in world, just ping either me or Alex, and we will get you in there.
Oh, okay.
But since you're here, you can.
Do you have a question?
Okay. Might as well ask. One question. Hey, Birdie.
Yes.
When are we gonna get a spinneroonie?
We gonna get a spinneroonie.
This guy. Well, first thing, I'm gonna let you know right now. For any all questions regarding Team Wildfire's services, you must contact Miwa Bunny for more information.
Fair enough. Have a nice day.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
That answers that.
Is there a way to ban that kid?
Oh my.
Should we just have him, whoever that was, just have him not call back?
he's good. All right, so we've talked all about Birdie's history of wrestling, and as you can see now, has reached the mountaintop, as they say. Became VWE Women's World Champion. But, you know, I made mention of it earlier, saying how pretty much everyone uses a move you made. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Team Wildfire?
So Team Wildfire, at first was an idea. It was an idea that I kind of had, not in 2013, but back in 2010, actually. I was honestly just messing around with Poser, not with the SL avatar, but actual the files from Dash Studio. Because I really just wanted to just, you know, mix something. At the time, Machinima was a big thing. It was huge. Because it just started, I was like, you know what? I need to get into this. I want to get into this. So I started doing small animations. None of them made it to anything. I might have some old video files here and there on like old accounts, but I need to like go soul searching for them. But as a whole, that's how I first got started. And then when I learned about SLS, I was like, okay, I could animate in this also. And I can tell you right now, the very first animation I did in SR Wrestling was, the very first one was the original Spinebuster that I made, which,
okay.
I'm going to tell you right now, there's two versions that you have. You have the version they use now, which is pretty damn good, and you have the old version, which rubber band like hell.
Be fair to say it's not your best work.
Oh, by far, no. It's not my best work at all.
I kind of would like to see sometime just, like, the early years of Team Wildfire, like, the first handful of animations just to see how far that you've come.
But going along with that, I didn't really got into animing as much. I mean, I did start it, and then I kind of was like, all right, let me make, you know, like, 5 moves, then 10 moves, then 20 moves. And then I came to a point which I was like, you know what? I have this crazy idea. Let me make a gacha out of this. I'm going to tell you right now, I had a lot of my friends, including, like, you know, Maxie in my ear telling me, that's a bad idea. You should not do that. And I was like, it hasn't been done before. Let me try. And, yeah, it was a good idea.
Rest in peace, Sasha. Pets have to pay respects. I don't see any apps out there.
Now, mind you, at the time, moves were pretty much, you know, kind of standard across the board, you know, like 250L to pay for a move and stuff like that. Like, that was like kind of like the standard. I went with that standard, but when I introduced the gacha, I was, at first it was 100L for a move, and then I brought it down permanently to 50. And I was putting out custom move vouchers because I still had a plethora of moves that I could create feasibly. And vouchers were dropping left, right, up, down. You could ask a lot of people. My custom list was large. I mean, very large. To the point that, you know, like, I kind of had to, like, you know, like, stop for a second and get my bearings. And then I was at about, I think, 100 moves when I announced my first auction. And I was not knowing what to expect. Mind you, the auction, like, I did not plan it at all, like, the right way. So I went, like, I was at, like, the career sim. I just had, like, a freaking stand. I was like, all right, I got some auction moves. This is my first time doing it. So let's get started.
What year was this?
This was in 2017, 16. It's more than years.
Okay. So like about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's when I first started. That's when I first started auction, and I'm gonna tell you right now, I had some fun, and a lot of people have had some fun. I made off with a lot, and I'm gonna tell you right now, a lot of people used to say that, you know, like, I got the greed in my stuff. I was able to pay rent with Second Life money.
Like, real world rent, like,
yes, real world
to a landlord rent. That's crazy.
And
yeah, that is something I have heard, is the running joke of, well, not even running joke, of Kieran paying Falcon's tuition just off of animation.
It's not a joke. It's actually an actual thing. But yeah, at the time, like, it really helped me out, because that was when I got into South Carolina, you know, my last three stations.
Don't do it.
At the time, I was kind of, let's say I kind of, you know, felt down because, one, I was in South Carolina. No offense to anyone who lives there. And two, I just switched to a different, whole new different airframe. I switched from, you know, the KC-135s and the C-130s and the Ospreys, and pretty much was forced to learn the F-15s and F-16s. And I'm going to tell you right now, like, because my job in the military was fuel systems.
Yeah.
Going from the big heavies to a jet that could literally go loops around, up, down, side to side, while still maintaining and while still, you know, able to friggin' push out friggin' fuel at a rapid pace, nearly impossible. God done.
It's wild to me that you were working, like, you were familiar with something like a C-130 Hercules, but also an Osprey. Those are two very different. I refuse to get on an Osprey. Like, the whole entire VTOL thing, like, the vertical takeoff and lift, like, it just scared me. I wanted nothing to do with it when I was in. I wanted nothing to do with it.
Well, I kind of had no choice.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, this was back in Mildenhall when I was in England. That's when we started learning about, you know, like, because at first I was just, it was just KC-130s and the C-130s and KC-135s. Mm-hmm. I know I'm probably talking gibberish to people. The 130 is the Hercules, and the 135 is the shadow tankers, the air refuelers.
It's like a Call of Duty airstreak without all the guns on it.
So, and the Osprey is also known as the CV-22. But with the Osprey itself, we got that into our hangar because, you know, the contract switched over 6 months before I left. So I learned the airframe and then I left to a new base.
Go on.
Yep. that thing indeed is a nightmare on wheels. But for fuel systems, that aircraft can pretty much repair itself. Like, dead up. Anyway, I think I went off the topic. What was I going back to again?
You were talking about when you were in South Carolina.
So when I was in South Carolina, like I said, like, that's when I did the auction, and it pretty much helped me pay for my rent. Unfortunately, you know, during my time in South Carolina, I was doing very good in terms of SL and RL, and then I had a couple of tragic moments when I was there. Some people know this. I was a head lead commentator back in in VW for a good portion. I was, you know, kind of like, you know, getting back into the nick of things after, you know, I left and came back. Let's say that on the table, even if you are a commentator, or if you, doesn't matter if you're a performer, a commentator, pure life, second life, doesn't matter. Stuff can happen in an instant. I learned that the hard way, what most people could say, because when I was on the table, I actually coughed up blood, and
Jesus Christ, that's terrifying.
It felt like a hard sneeze.
This was during a show.
It was in the middle of a show. And I see on the screen, and I was like, okay. All I did was send a message to, you know, whoever, you know, was the fan at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need it. And got my ass to the hospital like ASAP. Which lucky I did, because it was a, they said it was a blood clot. I don't know. But that's what they said. I didn't look into it further. I was just, you know, kind of under medication afterwards. But
yeah,
I didn't need people to know that. like I said, that was just one tragedy, and the other one was the passing away of my grandmother, That one devastated me, and that was ultimately the decision that kind of led me to get out of the airport. South Carolina kind of like, you know, like, poised me in a sense. like I said, like, no offense to people who have lived in the state, but for me, yeah, I just have bad tragedies over there.
Things that kind of stick with you, and you just associate with that state forever, and it's hard to move away from. I know exactly how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have too bad of a time there. I was out there probably. I was already gone by the time you got there. But yeah, I was out there as well. I didn't mind it too much.
I have actually a question from In World. I got pinged.
Okay.
This is actually for you, Birdie. Cameron wants to know, out of all of the moves you've made since you've been an animator, which move would you say is the favorite that you've created? This can be like customs or anything that you've auctioned off or something that you're selling in your vendors right now. Like, what, if you had to pick one that was your absolute favorite, what would it be?
My absolute favorite move that I've ever animated, funny enough, it's I would actually have to say, you know, that I actually had truly so much fun was the Deep Six.
Oh, the Deep Six.
That one was my most fun to do, because one of the hardest things to do in Zecha Life is to animate spins, because for free programs, you can only animate a total of 360 degrees, either forward or backwards. With Poser, I'm able to put it out up to pretty much infinity.
Yeah, I remember I had gotten a custom animation done for me that I still use, and one of the problems with doing it was you could only rotate so many times.
Yeah, anime is pretty hard. Anyone that tells you that it's easy are only making poses. All right.
I'm actually surprised that you went with the Deep Six. Honestly, I thought you would have gone with the Moonwalk DDT. That would have been my front runner for your favorite move to animate. But the Deep Six, I would not have guessed that one.
Yeah. I'll even throw you a bone, Cameron. I'm going to tell you what the hardest animation I've ever animated was. And this one, some people already know. It is actually the sharpshooter. Without a shadow of a doubt, that was the hardest animation I ever had to animate.
Really? The sharpshooter?
That, and the second that comes to that is the Tiger Fan Kick 609. That's the second one that comes into it.
Why is the sharpshooter, why was that the hardest one to animate? That kind of threw me for a loop.
Okay, so this comes from experience. So I wanted to animate the sharpshooter since I first started on it back in 2015, because I was like, hey, I need to make a submission move.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I first started, the prototype of it, I mean, so bad that I was like, I'm not releasing this. I then went back into it in 2015. And then I was like, nope, this ain't going to work either. So I went back into it in 2016. And it was just years and years.
You just revisited it every year. It was like your white whale for like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I say the 619 comes second because that one was truly like, it was not even on my list to even make. Like, people have asked for it. I was like, I don't really want to do this move. Like, one exists. I don't even want to do this move. I don't even want to do this move. And then eventually I was like, all right, let me just figure this move out. I'm done. It literally took me a day to finish it.
You go from having a move that takes you 3 or 4 years, and then the second hardest, like, it took me a day. It just took me a day.
Sozlin just abracadabra, here's your move.
Now, with the sharpshooter, once you got that figured out, like, what did you run? So, like, you figured out the sharpshooter. The Texas Cloverleaf is super close to the sharpshooter. Did that give you similar problems, or by the time you tackled that, like, you kind of knew what you were doing with the positioning?
So, once I tackled So yeah, you're right. Once I tackle that,
okay,
I can do the position I want.
Okay.
Because one thing about being an animator is always save all your files.
Yep.
Which at the time I didn't. But when I went back to redo some of these, it just came like white on rice. I just knew it. I knew it, but the problem that I had was the number of people in my IM sending me requests. And it's like, dude, I'm doing the animation right now. Tell me your thing. But I want this, but look, after you get this move done, I need you to go and do this move, and then do this, and then do that, and then do that. It drove me insane, bro.
I can imagine. But we have a caller on the line. Let's see what they've got to say. Hello, can you hear us?
Hello?
Hello.
This is Cameron, if you can hear me.
Hey, how's it going, Cameron?
Good. Actually, question for Hammer, actually.
Oh, okay. What's up?
So my question is, When I meant the word pulse, VWE pulse, what's the first memory that comes to your mind?
Oh.
When you mentioned pulse, the first memory comes to my mind.
That comes to your mind.
For me, it's actually my very first match, very first promo. I was freaking out the entire time, like leading up to it, actually doing what I needed to do. I had a good person to wrestle with, especially for a first match. I did my match with Vince Easterwood, or some people know Karma. And Vince helped me through that match so much. I don't know that I would have been able to finish it were it not for Vince. And then having to not only do that, but also cut a promo right after, and not wanting to sound stupid, which I still think I did. Just everything about that first match was
nervous,
everything.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look at you now, though. I mean, you're one of the top talents in WWE. We've come so far.
I haven't gotten far enough. I'm still learning. I'm still comparatively new.
You're still very, very good.
Thank you.
I love what you do.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
I work with you. Yeah. Also, one last question before I go is actually for Alex.
Yeah. What's up?
What are your inspirations for getting into wrestling, like in general? What's some of
just wrestling in general?
Well, let's go in general. Who inspires you to get involved with, what moments inspired you to get involved with this stuff?
This is going to be, like, I think the most cliche answer ever, but I've just been, like, a lifelong fan, first and foremost. In real life, I was actually born and raised in Syracuse in New York, and some of my earliest memories I have were of me and my dad going to the War Memorial Stadium and catching WWF at the time when they ran through, because they were just breaking out of that territory system at the time, but like New York was like their stomping ground. So we would always catch a show, and we didn't have cable at the time either, so I would always beg for VHS tapes when I was a kid too, and I just kind of grew up with it. And then from there, this is, high five for New York for sure. But from there, it just never really left me. as I grew older, I found out there was more than WWF. It started out with, there's stuff from down south. There's the WCW. And then as I was a teenager, I started hearing about this promotion coming out of Pennsylvania called ECW. So I started watching, like, the OG ECW stuff, which led me into NWA because ECW was an offshoot of NWA. And then I started going back, and I started watching stuff from, like, Ric Flair and Harley Race and Bruiser Brody. And then I'm just like, oh, there is just such a vast knowledge, like a vast universe. And then Django here in World and Second Life, like, Django. And then I saw a GIF of Will Ospreay and I went nuts. Yeah, that's what happened. I grew up a fan of wrestling, and then I became a fan of gymnasts and acrobatics. That's my story. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Fair enough. I mean, that's why he called you Captain Falls Off Shit, right?
But to get away from the cliche and to go to a final closing point with it that's a lot more genuine, something that professional wrestling does that I think a lot of other mediums don't do is it allows people to feel a wide range of emotions with characters that are relatable, and they create situations that you can kind of see yourself in. Like when a tag team breaks up, you could be reminded of a time that like your best friend stabbed you in the back or whatever, or like on-screen breakups with girlfriends or getting passed over for promotion at a job or whatever. You identify with these feelings, and it just like runs you through these emotions and takes you on a journey. And that's what the storytelling part of it is. And I think that that's the real magic of the whole entire medium for me, is getting people to experience emotions and go on that journey through, I guess, choreographed violence. It's very niche and very cool. I think fall in love with it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Jane said it's truly the ultimate roller coaster ride.
Yeah, I kind of just hijacked the podcast with that answer for a little bit. If it's cool with you, Hammer, I have like another question. I'm sorry, Cameron. Was that the end of the question? Wow, I'm like the worst co-host ever, huh?
That's the end of my question.
We're all good.
All right. Hello, world. Talk to you later.
All right.
Thanks for calling in, Cameron. I have, like I mentioned, I have one more question here from Kay in World in my inbox here. I don't know if it's like 100% serious or not, but Kay has asked, Alex, I have a question. When will your match with the Woodsman be? The hair versus hair match, bald versus bowl cut. Like y'all understand underneath this cap, like I have hair. It's there, right? Like, you understand that I still have K.
Hold up. Well, now that you said that, now you actually have to show it.
I don't, but it's such a good-looking hat. It was made by Team Wildfire, and I don't want to take it off. You know how Second Life's going to go, too. I'm going to take this hat off and, like, detach it, but my hair isn't going to render, and then I'm going to be all over.
The set's going to alter your hair.
Yeah, it's... But to answer the question, look, now that the Woodsman's a part of Valiant, he can get whatever he wants to get it. That's fine. I mean, if he wants to get it Wednesday night, he can get it then. If he wants to get it in the parking lot of a Denny's, he can get it then. It's whatever. It's up to him.
There you have it. Let's see. We have another caller to the show. We're going to bring that person in and say hello.
Hello there. It's me, Ray, again.
Hey, what's up, Ray?
Okay, so I actually have a legitimate question now that I've had time to think about it and not being put on the spot. But looking back over at the three of you. We have like three very talented people on the SL wrestling grid. What I would like to know is there anybody all over like in SL wrestling in general that each of you like regardless of promotion that would like to work with in the future, like any sort of like wrestling match or anything in the future from each of you?
I'm going to tell you right now, Hammer, go first.
um, See, I want storylines again. Like, a match is a tough one. There's some people out there, some minds that I want to work with and do, like, a full-blown storyline with. If you give me no restrictions and 5 weeks, 2 shows a week, I'm just going off of that since that's what WWE does, 2 shows a week, or 3 shows now, 3 shows a week of just time and opportunity, give me Henry. I wrestled him in a charity match, but I would love to just throw that mouthy twerp all over the place for 5 weeks straight.
Well, remember, the Woodsman and Henry are two different people.
Both of them
and Woodsman are two
twerp.
Different people.
Both of them are mouthy twerps.
I got you.
Guys, kind of a dick, but I mean, Henry's kind of my boss. I can't let you really be talking about him like that. Part of all these people here. I mean, that's kind of my boss there. I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but your boss is softer than baby poop.
All right, and Alex and Bertie, you too.
Is it getting warm in here? Shit.
Might be. Now, as for me, that is actually a hard one because I've almost wrestled everyone on the grid, and I truly mean it. Because, like, I go to charity events and stuff like that. However, there is a couple of names that I haven't done so yet, but there's one that does come to mind that I have never actually had a chance to work with at all, and I mean never had a chance to work with, and that would actually be Baza Wanda. I have never been, you know, with a match with him, never been part, you know, of him, and he's been around for a little bit longer than I have, so it's kind of like, wow, we have never done anything. Why not?
I can't believe this, because that was gonna be my answer as well. I was actually slated to work with Baza at Victorious 2 that just took place about a week ago, and due to real life circumstances, unfortunately, I couldn't make the show, and it kind of gutted me because we talked about it for a month prior to that, and I was really looking forward to it, especially with the way that he approaches a match in his style and the way that I approach a match in my style. So yeah, that's definitely something we're going to have to run back really soon. I have to say Baza as well.
All right. Pretty neat. Also, real quick, just a little comment. I'm going to let you all get back to the show in general. Thank you for answering my questions, but talk about time to build a few hammer. Hey, we still have unfinished business from Wounded Warrior. Cough, cough. Anyway, take care. That was a good.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Yep.
Oh, man. With that, we're actually going to wrap it up today, testing out times and everything to see what the format of the show is going to be. But before we go, I would like... to thank Lyra for coming to talk to us.
Yeah, for real. Thank you for showing up, Lyra.
That's all good. I got a lot more stories.
Yep, sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. We're definitely...
Every week, and we'll get a new story for at least a half a year.
Right. But, Lyra, you want to throw out some socials? Where can the people find you and all that it is that you do?
All right, and so, ladies and gentlemen, you can always find me on Twitter at Team Wildfire. @_SL, as well as my Wildfire Discord. And if you don't know where those are, you can always come over to Amber Bay. That is the home of Team Wildfire that you can just easily search up. Also, if you just search up wrestling in the search tab, you will find Team Wildfire and Amber Bay. Sorry, a little bit my other bird came out.
No, you're fine. You're fine. It was great.
Then, Alex, how about you?
Oh, we're doing the plugs now. Well, you could find me on Twitter at AJ Nightmare. Are we also doing in-world stuff too? All right. You can catch me Sundays at 4 p.m. I'll be performing at Rampage Wrestling Alliance, which is Henry's bed. Like I said, that's my boss. If you want to follow Rampage, you can follow Rampage at Rampage_RWA on Twitter. And on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., you can catch me at the Crown Eagle Center wrestling for Valiant. You can follow Valiant Wrestling on Twitter at Valiant_SL. And, yeah, this has been great. I'm very excited. I think this show went well. What about you, Big Man?
Yeah, this is pretty good. I'm very excited for this. For everyone listening, the format that we're going with, it will be every other Thursday. So every 2 weeks-ish, start time about the same, somewhere around there. And this is what you can expect.
Oh, plug the socials. Where can they find you at on Twitter?
Oh, right. Okay, so you can find me on Twitter at Bad Mama Hammer. You can find me in world as Hammer. If you need to contact me, it's Santino Clarington. If you would like to watch me, you can find me at VWE, Virtual Wrestling Entertainment, which you can actually find in the Destinations tab when you search for sports in SO. We'll flex. But you can find me, VWE. Our shows are Sundays at 2 p.m. SLT, Tuesdays and Fridays at 6 p.m. SLT. So you can find me at any one of those three.
Find us, the Gorilla Position Radio, on Twitter at Gorilla Pause Radio. Just today, definitely not last minute. Definitely a plan.
Fully prepared, perfectly executed.
You can follow us at Gorilla Pause Radio on Twitter. If you have any suggestions, if you have any guests, Second Life or otherwise, that you would want to see on the show, definitely throw us a mention on there. Let us know what's up. If you have any constructive criticism, legitimate gripes, more jokes about my fucking hair, you can go ahead and throw them there too.
That's something that we'll do, and we can throw this up on Twitter as well. We'll say #, new do who dis, and give me your best Alex joke.
The fuck? Why has it got to be a Alex joke? Why can't it be a fucking Hammer joke or any of us joke? Why has it got to be an Alex joke? Lilith in world Alex questioned, are you hiding a shiny bald head under this hat? You'll never know. I'm never taking it off.
But with that, ladies and gentlemen, we would like to say thank you. And as we said, you can see us here again, 2 weeks, 6 p.m. SLT, doing our thing.
Yep, and one last thing to say. So since Alex is on the show, as now known as Career Position Radio, is he the spot monkey of the show?
I hate you so much. In 2 weeks, we need better guests. we need better guests.
Yes, that is perfect.
Oh my god.
Perfect. Perfect name.
I know ring psychology, okay?
Oh man. But we're going to say thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It has been a pleasure, and we will see you next time.
Be awesome to each other, everyone.
Yeah, of course.